So what, are we just hoping to hear something about Jackson Dart? I mean,
I'm very curious what kind of tone he strikes. I really am. I mean, they were pretty bad. And you know that the Dart stuff's coming. Whether it's right or wrong, I would not play Jackson Dart in Dallas week two. I'm on the record. I don't even think I'd play in week three or week four. I've got to give this offensive line a chance to gel, if it could, to get Thomas back, if he does. But you know, the number one mission with the Giants and people who cover them is Jackson Dart. So I think what he says and how he handles it's going to be very revealing.
Did you see the, I was going to say Marash and Marshan Twitter?
I heard about this a little bit.
But it's not about them. It's about what actually happened. So I guess that the Giants reporters wanted to talk to Jackson Dart after the game. And Dart said, sure. And the Giants said, no. You have any issue with that?
I don't. I have no issue with that. Now, I hesitate because in my mind I'm saying, well, he's on the team, through the proper channels, the interview was requested, the player was willing to do it. But let's face it, if I'm the Giants PR and I'm in charge of that at this point, what good will it come, the franchise, to have Jackson Dart out there? Now, I don't think that Jackson Dart would say the wrong thing. I think he's very much on point and he's a team guy and I think he gets the deal. But just if he misspeaks or it's twisted, I don't think it's worth it. Now that's also not being very transparent, which I'm against from a journalistic perspective. But in this situation, I'm okay with what the Giants did.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play yesterday, so I could understand their perspective. Like, he's not the story, but he is, unfortunately, the story for them being there. And I don't give the Giants the benefit of the doubt because I think they try to cover up stuff.
The Giants try to prevent
the storm from happening.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes it worse.
Yep.
It makes it worse. Yep. Like, I didn't need to hear from Jackson Dart yesterday. And I do agree with the Giants that anybody who does want to ask Jackson Dart a question is going to be trying to stir things up. Like, it's way too early for me to be in that conversation. But I've been saying that for weeks. But that's just me. Other people, and I'm sure that if you're a writer or reporter and you pump out a story that has Jackson Dart's name attached to it, it's going to get more clicks. We're talking about Jackson Dart. We didn't lead with it, but obviously he's going to be a big focal point. So I could understand their perspective of wanting to talk to him. I don't know the inner workings of how, like, I've obviously been in plenty of clubhouses and locker rooms, but if a player wants to speak, it's such a unique spot that the player did want to speak, but he's such an irrelevant part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I could understand the Giants wanting to protect him and themselves, but they don't get the benefit of the doubt to me because they do this all the time.
He was inconsequential to the game, but he's not inconsequential to the greater conversation. I mean, you want to tell me that on a third or fourth string tight end, whatever, if they want to talk to him, would they not let him speak if he didn't play? They probably wouldn't care. But let's not be foolish about this. Their number one is to make sure that when he's out there, he's ready and the O-line's buttoned up and he knows the playbook, which of course he will, and they put him in a position to succeed. I'm of the mindset. Now, some people disagree with this, and I respect that. But just for this unique situation, you also have to protect him off the field a little bit. And no matter what he says, I don't think it's going to be a good thing. It might be a neutral thing, but it could be a bad thing because it could be twisted.
I do find it odd, though, that aside from trying to, and dude, look at the media world that we live in. Like, it's ridiculous now. It's not real reporting. It's about sensationalizing topics and clickbaits and headlines and all that stuff. So I do understand that mentality, a reporter thinking, well, I got to get Jackson Dart's comments here because that's going to go nuts. But I also understand that he was irrelevant to the game and I don't need to hear or read about a quote from Jackson Dart when he didn't get in the game. If he made his NFL debut, there were packages from different story. Hey, how was it to be? Even though you know that wouldn't be the question. The question is going to be like, when are you going to start? Like, you ready to start?
Mm-hmm.
But it would be about, hey, you made your NFL debut. How'd that feel? He didn't get in the game. I don't think that there was a need to hear from or talk to Jackson Dart.
Well, I agree. And I think about this, too. Like, say, even if the kid was really trying to play ball and do the right thing, and it seems like he's got that personality where I think that that's what he would be doing. But say if they ask him, you know, hey, although they wouldn't be innocent because it would be a leading question as they actually think about the story in their minds. They're trying to get that juicy quote, which I also understand, as you said, with the clicks. But if it was along the lines of, you know, hey, Jackson, you know, I think a lot of us in the media, a lot of fans thought that the offense would be, you know, a little bit better out of the chute here, and you guys didn't score a touchdown. And he can offer a fairly benign take on the situation, but it could be a little misconstrued, misinterpreted, twisted, where it's almost like an unintentional direct shot at the Giants' offense right. for not doing anything. So that wouldn't be Dart's motivation, but it could be the motivation of others to twist it. So eventually this kid's going to get the ball, and this kid's going to have 20 mics shoved in front of his face. Yesterday was not the day.
It's just such a weird dynamic, though, of not only... See, because the Giants' setup is not a weird dynamic. Having a veteran quarterback come in to start while drafting a younger quarterback that you want to have sitting in the wings, that's not a bad... Like, did the Chiefs... If you were covering the Chiefs years ago and Alex Smith was the starting quarterback, did they ever go to Patrick Mahomes and ask him for comments afterward? Like, I don't remember that off the top of my mind, but it doesn't seem like that would make sense, does it?
No. But Alex Smith was also playing really well. He won 10 or 11 games, right, put up some big numbers.
But it's one game.
I know.
It also just shows you, I'm not blaming the reporters and I'm not blaming the Giants. It just shows you where we're at. I do think the Giants try to cover stuff up and then it makes it worse. I just feel like that's their MO, which they shouldn't just do. You got to just be, even Dable, like the way he answers questions. Like, who are you kidding?
Well, that's why I want to hear him today. Yeah. I think it's going to be very interesting. He's
what
at 1:30.
He's going
I don't know. Here's the thing, though, Sal. Yeah. The questions that they weren't able to ask Jackson Dart yesterday, you know they're coming to the head coach today.
And yeah, he's going
to
shut it down. And
he might, but then if he shuts it down, then now we've got the right to react. To. Do you think you are shutting this down? And by the way, the Giants kind of invited this, so let me ask you this. If Jackson Dart was QB3 yesterday rather than QB2.
Yeah, they should have made him QB3.
Do you think that they are asking the Giants PR to interview him?
Probably not.
Can't prove it, but I think common sense would prevail and say no.
But here's why I'll side with the Giants for a second. If Dable comes out today and somebody asks him flat out, when is Jackson Dart going to take over? Is he going to be a starting quarterback? And he says no. It's still going to be like if he says, we're not thinking about that. Right now, Jackson Dart is our number two quarterback. Russell Wilson is our starting quarterback.
Which is what he should say.
Okay.
And what he will say.
Okay. They're still going to, he's been saying that, and they're still going to say the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the reporters are still going to say the same thing.
You know how the game works, man. They're going to be chasing that cheese. And now the onus and the impetus is on Dable to make sure that his messaging is consistent because what he has said from minute one is that Russ is the starter. If he shows any flinch, which I don't think he will, I think he'll handle it fairly well. Maybe
some interpreted it yesterday that he left it open.
I saw that. I didn't. And that was not my interpretation. If there's anything that is counter to what he's been espousing for the last 2 months, I think that that's a little damaging potentially for some people in the locker room. Hey, this is where we're at, man. The Giants have stunk for a while. They moved up to get a kid in the first round. Russell Wilson's a Band-Aid. Jameis Wilson's even less than a Band-Aid. Eventually, the kid's going to play. People want to know when. It's week one. You looked awful. Didn't score a touchdown. Of course the questions are coming, man. We idiots.
Matt is calling from St. Augustine, Florida. What's up, Matty?
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Good. How are
you? Hey, Matt.
I'm doing well. I called out today. Hey, fellas, I'm watching you on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because I took the Steelers -2.5. Mm. I mean, what are you doing going for two, Aaron Glenn? Dude, go for two when you have to go for two. These guys think they're so smart. Hey, can I just say something about Bogish?
I had a picture
in my head of what Andrew Bogish looked like.
Yeah.
Nothing to what I just saw on YouTube.
What did you think he looked like?
Honestly, a geeky boy band, clean-shaven, spiky hair.
Well, you nailed it. That's what it looks like.
He does look like that. Aside from the clean shaven, I mean, it's pretty spot on.
Hey, Sal, you got the quick hook. You got the Mendy Boone hook. Let me make a hot take on gambling after my Giant take. Couple things. Reputations in sports, I'm fascinated about because certain guys hold on to positive reputations and certain guys don't get the credit they deserve because maybe they're not a household name. Andrew Thomas, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong. His first year, he was a bust.
Okay? Yes.
He was not good.
Yep, fair.
Okay. He comes back his second year, and he's solid.
Yes,
okay? No,
fair.
All right. And he's been injured ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is this? Like, Andrew, I understand a left tackle. I got you. I feel like the title of Andrew Thomas is more impressive than Andrew Thomas. Second thing,
Matt, I disagree. Only because there's enough tape on Andrew Thomas that when he plays, he's awesome. Period.
That's fine. I'm not a scout. I'm just telling you macro picture.
Yep.
Like Andrew Thomas has done nothing. If his career ended today, he's a nobody. Right. Tight end. with the Giants. Okay, Bavaro was a little before my time. I'm born in 82. But Howard Cross was excellent. Kishaki was obviously pretty good. And then, you know, Kevin Boss. Have we had a good tight end since Kevin Boss? I don't think so. Okay? And then the last thing, and again, Sal, hopefully you're getting my gambling hot take, Jackson Dart. I watched a preseason game for the first time in my life in the last 20 years because of Jackson Dart. You know, I'm for these dudes sitting, but I don't know, man. This kid reminds me a little bit physically of Patrick Mahomes. I would actually – Russell Wilson, two Hall of Fame coaches got rid of him. Tomlin and Peyton, arguably the two best coaches in the league. They got rid of him.
Yeah, but the Steelers wanted to keep him. You know that, right?
And also, it's not about that Russell Wilson's going to be the guy. You know he's just a stopgap.
Yeah.
It's just buying time until eventually –
Then put Winston in. Russell Wilson's cooked, bro. He's 5'10". He's done. Okay, maybe when he was
– All right, what's your gambling thing here? Before you – come on, we gave you 10 minutes here.
Gambling take. We've already had guys that make seven figures get pinched. The pitchers with the Indians, the dude Porter in Toronto. We've already seen it. The guy Malik Beasley got investigated.
We know.
There is no doubt in my mind, fellas. I've been gambling heavy since 2005. There is no doubt in my mind that these referees who probably get paid $25K to $50 as a part-time job, if that, they may get paid less. There is no question in my mind these guys are on the take.
Yeah, I mean, hard to argue that. And thanks for the call. Good call, Matt. We appreciate watching on YouTube and listening to the show.
It was a good call.
Hard to... Look, my buddy Vin used to be the biggest conspiracy theorist that there is. Like, this is going back 30 years.
With gambling or with everything?
With everything.
Okay, one of those guys.
Yeah, this guy's on the... This is like before even gambling became a huge thing, one of those guys.
Uh-huh.
And I used to be like, dude, come on, man. How can I take you seriously? And now, here we are, you know, 35 years later.
Yeah.
Guys are getting nabbed for, you know, fixing games and stuff. Whether it's the referee, whether it's baseball players, football players.
Talking about Donaghy from the NBA?
Yeah,
that's,
saying,
that's
like,
really where it started. Opened our eyes.
I can't really push back. Do I think that all the refs or officials or umps are on the take? No, but if you tell me that some might be.
Well, think about what the Yankees went through last in Houston.
I told you. My initial thought was, this guy's on the take. I didn't even know he was a Red Sox fan.
Yeah.
Watching that game, he was so blatantly bad, I'm thinking something's up here.
And then he was so brazen. The next night, there was another bad call. It's not like if you are pinched, it's like, oh, this guy's guilty. Like, if I was him, right? The way people, like, you know, screenshot pictures of him and his buddies, Red Sox, I would do everything in my power the next game to try to dispel that and do things favorably for the Yankees
to throw
people off scent. This guy, on a basic exchange with Ryan McMahon, he actually went the other way.
Here's what I would say in summation, a little PSA from SAL. Gamble responsibly. And I would tell you flat out to not gamble. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your life. But as somebody who's been burned before because I have, you know, I got a little bit of an issue. Like, when I'm in, I'm in.
Boy, you said that three times that you had an issue.
I'm just being honest. Like, I don't anymore, luckily.
Yep.
Because of the way I've been able to just curtail it to a certain extent. But it's innate in me. Like, you know.
It's easy to get sucked in.
100%. But I also like doing it. So if you can, if you have the $20 or $50 or $100 or whatever you can afford.
Sure.
And do it responsibly, just know. Like, we talked about our bad beats earlier, whatever. Mm. Like, that's par for the course. That happens all the time.
Every week.
You know it. Oh, I was at the casino. And what would you think happened?
Mm, so card 21. Wow, how'd you pull that?
You got to be responsible and know what it is. Like, I never smoked. I never did drugs. My one vice has been gambling. I love the action.
Maybe you got that personality where you should make sure you never smoke.
Yeah, I know.
Or do some other drugs. Like, Sal would be, he'd be naked on the corner holding a pipe, you know, trying to get some bookie on the phone with a cell phone that expired. Jesus.